First win. With each passing day, since the arrival of humankind upon this foreign soil, they have engaged in a relentless struggle against the relentless odds that threaten to engulf them. Relentlessly. Yet in the face of ceaseless uncertainty, they have endured, seeking solace in their unwavering commitment to the preservation of their kind. In the wake of their recent triumph, the human settlement blossomed with newfound life, having survived the first true trial hurled at them by this unforgiving planet. They had secured shelter, established order, procured sustenance and drinkable fluids, and now they had vanquished a formidable native predator. In the halls of governance, the Council of 30 convened, their minds burdened by the weight of responsibility. Over the course of 4 grueling days, they painstakingly gathered information and reports, assessing the unfolding events with utmost seriousness. The time had come for a momentous meeting, one that would shape the destiny of this fledgling society. Fueled by the influx of food resources, the Council forged the Essential Services Department, appointing 2 exceptional individuals to lead it. Hambone, seat number 17, the head of agriculture, and Isa, seat number 8, the head chef. Both had demonstrated remarkable skills, unfathomable knowledge, and unyielding bravery throughout the perilous 50-group team expedition into the uncharted depths of the western and northern forests. As the council members took their seats, the room echoed with the gravity of their purpose. This was not a gathering for idle discourse or inconsequential matters. This was a symposium of statesmanship, a congregation of leaders bound by their shared commitment to the survival and prosperity of their people. The council members exchanged somber glances, each acutely aware of the task at hand. Councilmember Aki, seat number 20, head of data collection, rose from his newly crafted chair, his voice steady and resonant, carrying the weight of experience and wisdom.
"Esteemed council members, today we stand at a pivotal juncture in our collective history," he began, his words piercing the silence. "The trials we have faced thus far have tested our mettle and resilience, but it is now time to solidify the foundations of our society." He gestured toward Hambone and Isa, the stalwart figures flanking him. "The Essential Services Department, born out of our recent triumph, shall become the vanguard of our sustenance and nourishment. Head Farmer Hambone and Head Chef Isa have proven themselves invaluable through their unwavering dedication. It is upon their capable shoulders that we entrust the vital task of ensuring our survival in this untamed realm by filling our belly with delicious food." The council members nodded in solemn agreement, recognizing the significance of this appointment. The weight of responsibility settled on Hambone and Isa's shoulders, their expressions a blend of determination and humility. "The challenges ahead may be formidable," Aki continued, his voice unwavering. "We stand united, facing an uncertain future with unwavering resolve. Let us summon the spirit of camaraderie that has carried us through our darkest hours and forge a society that will endure the test of time. May our actions today pave the path to a prosperous and harmonious existence on this alien land." With these words, the council member concluded his address, his voice echoing in the still renovating chamber of their headquarters.
"Vladimir, welcome, esteemed members, to the M30 meeting. I am Vladimir, occupying seat number 12. Before we go on, I would like to thank Aki for providing the information we will be discussing today. To be mindful of everyone's time, let us delve into the critical matters at hand. First on the agenda is the distressing disappearance of Team Uno and the subsequent rescue efforts. We cannot ignore this unfortunate incident. Following that, we will briefly touch on the boom in labor work and craft projects. Believe it or not, these are crucial aspects that require our attention. Additionally, we must discuss the establishment of a marketplace for resource acquisition and bartering, including the consideration of a currency system. Next is the combat and survival knowledge remains paramount, and we must address strategies for enhancing our proficiency in these areas. Since Team Uno's disappearance, resource gathering has been an ongoing concern and has slowed down development due to the lack of exploration. We must find a way to recorrect the restriction that was placed. The main topics we need to address at this meeting of 30 are the discovery found at the HQ Foundation, as well as the advancements made in the West and North Forest, which should be acknowledged. Furthermore, we need to discuss our plans to expand deeper into the forest and determine the direction of our overall strategy. If we can't overcome this crater ecosystem, then we have no business wanting to explore the outside walls. now about Team Uno's disappearance. Regrettably, our naivety led to their deployment into the wilds of an alien planet. A pointless sacrifice and a failure of responsibility on our part. If we expect others to sacrifice their lives for humanity, should we not put forth every effort to protect humanity itself? It has been a week since their vanishing, and while public discussions on the matter may be constrained, emotions are reaching dangerous levels in private. We must take decisive action to ascertain their fate. Tara, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Tara, seat number 5, head of education and its distribution. To add my voice to this concern, Vladimir speaks the truth. The people's frustration is growing exponentially due to the lack of progress in locating our missing comrades. While they comprehend the risks and challenges, they find it difficult to accept the situation. The measures in place to prevent further casualties are necessary, but are simultaneously hindering our ability to function efficiently or conduct comprehensive search and rescue operations. Joe, I share your apprehensions, gentlemen. The disappearance of Team Uno is a grave matter that demands immediate attention. However, we must exercise caution and avoid hasty rescue attempts that may place more lives in jeopardy. The lives of each individual on this planet are our most valuable resource, more precious than anything else. Never forget that. Lady V, all lives matter, even God's loving creatures. Never forget that. Vladimir, generals, we understand the risks involved, but we cannot simply stand by and wait. We propose organizing a well-equipped search team to venture into the jungle and gather any possible evidence of Team Uno's status. When we find a way back to Earth, their families will deserve answers, and we as a people need closure. Tara, with all due respect, sir, after extensive evaluations, we have capable individuals who are willing to volunteer for the search mission. While they may lack specific skills and knowledge of jungle survival, their determination and loyalty can compensate for that. We can't afford to let fear and uncertainty paralyze us. Lady V, we appreciate your concern for the missing team, but we cannot ignore the reality of our limitations. Sending ill-prepared personnel into the treacherous jungle without proper training would be a grave mistake. We must approach this with caution and prioritize the safety of our people. Tara, sir, we understand the risks involved, but we firmly believe that with the right guidance and support, we can mount a successful search operation. We request the assistance of experienced trackers and survival experts to accompany our team. Their expertise will ensure our safety and increase the chances of locating any trace of Team Uno. Gemsky, with the extensive evaluations you've done, didn't you find any qualified persons? Tara, we did, sir. But they will not commit without the accompany of the 3 generals. Gemsky, listen, this is a topic we must get back to at a later date. The skills it would take to launch a successful retrieval of Team Uno is impossible right now. Vladimir, generals, we implore you to reconsider. Our unit is suffering and the morale is deteriorating rapidly. Taking action will not only provide closure but also restore faith in our leadership. We cannot afford to let doubt and anxiety linger within the hearts of the people. Joe, I can comprehend this situation's emotional toll on the people. We will take your concerns into consideration and reassess the feasibility of a limited search operation, as stated by General Gemsky. However, I must stress that the safety and well-being of our personnel are paramount. But first, I need you to comprehend the gravely perilous nature of the forest. If we could compare it to the Amazon forest, this is a realm of untamed wilderness where survival teeters on the edge of a knife. The risks involved in organizing a team to rescue Team Uno are daunting, and I must impress upon you the dire statistics that underscore the harrowing reality we face. He paused, his eyes panning across the 27 people before him, searching for a flicker of understanding. Think of the surrounding forest as if it was the Amazon. The Amazon forest is a merciless adversary. Within its depths, over 2,000 species of venomous snakes alone slither, waiting to deliver deadly strikes around every tree, bush, and rock. Every step is a gamble, a dance with the serpents of fate. The general's voice grew somber, his words weighed down with the weight of their implications. The density of the foliage engulfs all who enter, a labyrinth of towering trees and impenetrable undergrowth. Even the most experienced navigators find themselves disoriented, losing their way amidst nature's chaotic tapestry. His gaze turned distant, as if he could see the shadows of the forest encroaching upon his thoughts. And then there are the apex predators. On Earth, we had to deal with predators such as jaguars, pumas, and cunning hunters that roam freely. But in case you forgot, the native predators are aliens never seen by us before. They could be invisible. They could be rocks, They could even be trees. How would we ever know what is what before it's too late? The predators in the Amazon have claimed the lives of many who ventured too far into their realm. Their hunger knows no bounds, and you want to take going into the forest lightly? We made a mistake the first time, sending the 5 men who made up Team Uno to their deaths unprepared, but we will not make that mistake again. A shudder ran through the general's body as he contemplated the dangers that awaited. Let us not forget the silent assassins that lurk in the shadows, invisible yet deadly. Malaria, dengue fever, and a host of other diseases haunt the Amazon, striking swiftly and mercilessly, leaving little chance for survival without immediate medical aid. Tara. Thank you, General, for your understanding and willingness to reconsider the situation. We truly appreciate your support. However, we must approach this mission with caution and thorough preparation to ensure the safety of all involved. Vladimir. Indeed, sir. We are grateful for your consideration and will work closely with the assigned experts to develop a comprehensive plan. Their guidance will be crucial in executing this mission effectively. Joe. Safety must be our top priority throughout the entire process. We cannot afford to take unnecessary risks that may endanger more lives. Let us proceed with utmost care and caution, keeping the well-being of our people at the forefront of our actions. Harry. Moving on to the next important topic. I'm Harry, seat number 9, and head of healthcare. As our settlement grows, we need to address the labor situation. Within 4 days, we constructed over 300 wooden homes while running on empty. The extended days and nights have been greatly affecting the psyche of the people who are trying to do their part and not get ostracized in the process. Since the restrictions and the abandonment of Team Uno, the people have been trying to give it their all for an idea, and after filling their bellies with food these 2 days, the people have all shifted their outlook. Recently, there has been a noticeable decline in maximum output as people are starting to focus more on personal pursuits. Some indulge in sexual activities wherever and whenever possible, while others take up craft projects during their free time. This is understandable, but it also means that we need to find a balance and prevent them from burnout within their personal pursuits. I propose the next venture should be establishing a marketplace where people can exchange their goods, skills, and knowledge, providing an alternative way for them to contribute to the settlement without overexerting themselves. Additionally, if we introduce a currency system, it can create incentives and boost productivity. Jemski, I'm confident in my team of engineers, and we have already been working on plans for a marketplace with B145, seat number 7, head of trade and bartering. Our goal is to create a designated area in the northern part of the settlement where individuals can showcase their crafts and skills. The collaboration will also depend on the council members of seat 4, head of toolmaking, seat 5, head of education, seat 6, head of crafting, seat 8, head of food production, seat 11, head of animal domestication, seat 12, head of resource exploration, seat 14, head of metallurgy, seat 17, head of agriculture, and seat 19, head of discovery development. Also, Lady V, with your personal research department, we value your input. We will love to work closely with you to make this marketplace a reality, considering all necessary factors for its success. Lady V. I understand, General Jemski. However, it would be best for the development team to remain on the south side of the field where my research is conducted. If that's okay, then we can do work together. Harry. Understood. We will ensure that the development team coordinates with you accordingly. Joe. Well, let's get on with it. We've been here for quite some time. Raven. General Joe. I'm Raven, seat number 15, head of legal services. I've heard rumors about your work on combat defense and survival knowledge. Can you provide some insight into this? Joe. Yes, indeed. I've been working on a program along with London, seat 10, and head of survival training. This program has the potential to enhance our survival capabilities significantly, and, before Joe could elaborate further, Raven interjected, cutting him off. Raven, to save time, we will postpone the discussion of Joe's wrestling program and any topic of resource gathering for another occasion. Joe, but why can't we discuss it now? Raven, General, as you have expressed earlier, this meeting is affecting your ability to attend to other more pressing matters. As the council, we will find a way to address your concerns if there is any time. However, let us prioritize the remaining crucial topics before concluding this meeting. Tara. Indeed, sirs. During the excavation of the pit beneath the HQ, we encountered a peculiar gas at a depth of 11 feet. The gas exhibited unique characteristics that warrant further investigation. It was nearly imperceptible, lacking discernible toxicity or flammability, and devoid of any discernible odor. However, it emitted a distinct red-tinted luminescence within the surrounding shadows. Our initial expertise and visual analysis suggest that this gas may possess unusual properties related to energy transfer and molecular reactivity. Joe: What the fuck does that mean? Lady V: Our researchers, despite limited resources, diligently studied the gas's behavior. We observed intriguing phenomena associated with exposure to the gas. Withdrawal from the gas resulted in a curious 3-hour period of skin calcification, rendering the outer layer as dense and resilient as a brick before gradually deteriorating into a brittle state. This process appears to involve unique molecular transformations and could provide valuable insights into potential applications in materials science. Vest: That's a pretty interesting find. I'm interested. Joe: So, are you going to introduce yourself, sir? Vest: Nope. Please carry on. Harry: Furthermore, following the gas discovery, we continued the excavation till our workers encountered a large enigmatic root that produced a warmth upon touch. In their reports, they claimed to have heard audible sounds akin to fluid flow emanating from within the root itself. Preliminary examinations indicate that the root possesses a remarkable heat transfer mechanism and may serve as a conduit for the transport of fluids or other substances. However, this raises an intriguing question regarding the existence of subterranean networks or biological mechanisms unknown to us. Vladimir: Our scientific experts have made some intriguing observations about the composition of the soil. The pedologist who studies soils noted that the soil is remarkably fertile. It appears vibrant, with colors ranging from black to gold and gray. What's interesting is that the usual microorganisms responsible for soil health are absent. This indicates the existence of distinct biogeochemical processes or undiscovered mechanisms that govern soil fertility on this alien planet. The botanists made an interesting discovery when they compared the stratification and arrangement of the soil layers. They found that it resembled a magnified version of adipose tissue, which is similar to the complex cellular structures found in living organisms. This unexpected similarity between plant physiology and soil composition opens up numerous possibilities for studying the connections between plants and the terrestrial environment. However, the geologist raised a concern regarding further excavation. The site has indications of being volcanic, and digging deeper could potentially lead to encountering pockets of gas that are highly toxic or flammable. It is crucial that we proceed with caution and prioritize the safety of our personnel, taking into account the volcanic nature of the site and the associated risks. These extraordinary findings underscore the need for rigorous scientific investigation and specialized equipment to comprehend the intricacies of this alien environment. They present unprecedented opportunities for scientific discovery and could provide invaluable insights into the unique geology, biology, and chemistry of this unexplored world. Jemski: Wow, that's pretty amazing. Timon from Team Uno is also a geologist and mentioned that this might be a volcano, and the legitimacy of it being dormant might be false if we're going by Earth standards. Joe: Did he really say all that? Jemski: More or less he did. Harry: In light of the discovery, we, the Council, need more insight as to what happened during the forest exploration into the West and North Forest. We heard a lot happened in the North, but nothing about what happened in the West. Not one person is saying a word. Joe: Well... Before Joe could say another word, Tara said, Ladies first, sir. This made Joe furious, but he couldn't give her the satisfaction of a reaction. Lady V: It was God. That's what happened. That's what we saw. His handiwork and his wonderful sign to us, his people. Vladimir: Is that all? With all due respect, are you perhaps overlooking rationality and embracing ignorance? Are you stupid? Joe: Watch your fucking language. Once again, before Joe could finish his statement, Tara interrupted. Do you three think you are kings or something? Don't let the power go to your head. In reality, you have none. All 30 of us govern over 100 individuals. You three are the faces of that union, but don't get it fucked up that your appointed position makes you better or higher than us. Respect is given from birth, and you three have lost my respect. Let me make this clear. My fucking respect is hard to earn once lost, so please stop playing these games with big people. Vladimir: Well said, Tara. The knowledge you possess is not your personal possession. It belongs to the survival of the human race on this alien planet. If there is power or divinity at play, that knowledge rightfully belongs to all of us. We were brought here alongside you, so it stands to reason that we too could be considered his chosen people. Lady V. You're right. My apologies. I won't tell you about God, but I'll tell you this. There's a higher power that protects us from danger within the forest. Joe. Speak for yourself. Tara. Save it for when it's your turn to talk. Lady V. The west was where we found the bounty. 6 miles in, we discovered an Eden. The sweet smells were like a magnet to the system. Before we knew it, we were running full clip towards the source. As we got closer, we spotted a tree with a strange-looking triangular fruit, then another that looked like a mango. Before we could touch anything, a woman named Issa stepped forward, her presence commanding respect and trust. In this prismatic setting, devoid of modern technology and relying solely on her intuition, observation, and extensive knowledge of food and plants, she made it her mission to successfully secure food for everyone. Issa. All right, everyone. Let's begin by carefully examining these plants and trees in the area. We need to rely on our senses and intuition to assess its potential edibility. Pay close attention to its appearance, smell, and texture. Leaning in, she scrutinized the plants with unwavering focus, gently touching the leaves, feeling their texture between her fingertips. She closed her eyes momentarily, inhaling deeply to perceive any distinctive aroma. Issa, the leaves feel supple and smooth, and there's a slight earthy scent. These initial observations indicate that the plant could be promising, but we must proceed cautiously. With deliberate care, Issa plucked a single leaf and raised it to her lips. She paused, savoring the moment as she connected with the plant on a deeper level. She closed her eyes once again, allowing her taste buds to assess the leaf's flavor. Issa, the taste is mild, with no immediate signs of bitterness or astringency. This is encouraging, but we need to ensure its safety further. Grabbing a handful of some water gel from a mud pot, Issa gently washed the leaf, allowing the flowing water to cleanse away any potential toxins. She then placed the leaf on her tongue once more, this time chewing it slowly, letting her senses guide her assessment. Issa, I sense no adverse effects or discomfort. This plant may indeed be safe for consumption. However, we must remain vigilant and observe for any delayed reactions or unusual sensations. The team watched intently, their faith in Issa's expertise growing with each meticulous step she took. From word of mouth, they heard she possessed a deep understanding of nature's secrets, and her ability to resist toxins and discern edible plants from potential dangers was invaluable in this untamed environment. Issa. Based on my evaluation, I believe we can include this plant in our food sources. However, it's crucial that we continue to monitor our bodies and communicate any unusual symptoms. We must remember that each person's tolerance and reaction to certain plants may vary. This part is a little hard to describe, and it was where things started to change for the worst before God intervened. All 50 of us indulged in getting our bellies filled, first by the fruit trees that seemed native to Earth. Then later, we built up enough courage and curiosity to try the native fruits of this planet, saving their seeds for farming. As we got deeper into this fruit garden, all 50 of us paused in our tracks, breaking into a cold sweat. The overall feeling was fear, but what we saw was equally stunning, with a beauty that could have also stopped us. In what could be described as the center of this fruit forest, there was a tree that might have been surrounded and covered by over 6,000 different fruit trees, all gathered together in layers, forming a spiraling cone to the top. The dense canopy of the clustered trees obstructed our view of their individual trunks, creating the illusion of a single massive tree from a distance. The cluster of trees, which made up the large, uniformed cone-shaped tree, had a piece at the top that extended then curved over onto itself. This feature differentiated the main tree in the center from the smaller trees surrounding it. At the very top of this central tree, there was a solitary white fruit. With every passing moment, we looked at the tree and got closer, intensifying the feeling that our lives hung precariously in the balance. The air grew heavy with unexplained darkness, an omen of the lurking danger that awaited us. Realizing the gravity of the situation, I knew that swift action was essential to preserve the lives of our companions. With a voice tinged with urgency, I commanded everyone to hastily gather whatever supplies they could salvage and evacuate without delay. The weight of our collective survival rested upon my shoulders, and it was abundantly clear that lingering any longer in that treacherous place would undoubtedly expose us to an unfathomable and fatal fate. as we readied ourselves to depart, gathering the fruits, vines, roots, leaves, and seeds together, a sense of trepidation took hold, intensified by the realization that we were disoriented and unable to find the path leading us back to our original location. Panic began to seep into our minds as we frantically searched for familiar landmarks or any semblance of a recognizable trail.
As we looked for a sign, an unexpected obstacle presented itself in the form of a mystery. It wasn't clear if they were there from the beginning or not, but mixed in with the lush forest of fruit trees was an abundance of large, sunny flowers. Seeing the flowers sway gently in the breeze created a mesmerizing display of colors and aromas, bringing new smells to the already beautiful environment. Just as we got ready to navigate between the sunny flowers and the fruit trees, it was as if a windless breeze created a wave, swaying the sunny flowers into a dance that gave the impression that they were moving towards us. Issa was very curious about the appearance of these new plants that we somehow didn't notice until now, slowly moving toward it with a stretched-out spear in hand. Roughly 7 feet from the nearest sunny flower, it suddenly surged forward with an alarming speed at Issa. It was as if an invisible force propelled not just one but all the flowers near her, and anyone unfortunate enough to be in the surrounding area. This sudden behavior from the sunflowers added a new element of danger to our situation. It became evident that they posed a threat to our safety. We needed to remain cautious and alert as we navigated through this unfamiliar environment, ensuring that we stayed together and avoided close proximity to these rushing sunflowers. The best case would be wiping them out and preventing them from stumbling onto the settlement. The worst cases could be that we destroy them without realizing we created an environment that would birth new problems. Or perhaps these sunny flowers might manage to kill us all right here, never to be heard from alive. Vladimir. What? The plants? Were they really moving? Holy cannoli! Lady V. Indeed, time was of the essence and we needed to move swiftly. No one needed to tell Issa what was next. She was the fastest person moving through the forest away from the sunny flowers, tapping and snapping everyone in her path out of their disbelief trance. It soon became apparent that the sunny flowers were not our only adversaries. Again, Issa was the first to notice and reacted so swiftly that she did a 360 slide with her hands in the air. As we were forced to halt our retreat, Issa told us she smelt small traces of spicy pollen around and that we should prepare for a confrontation. Quickly drawing our weapons, we braced ourselves for battle. As we stood quietly and vigilant, waiting for an opportunity to change our luck, the sunny flowers, just like spring traps, sprang up, dusting their pollen, then abruptly fell backwards to the ground as if a powerful gust of wind pushed them back. As the sunny flower stalk fell backwards to the ground, a shocking revelation unfolded before our eyes. Hidden among the sunflowers were enormous centipedes, crawling and slithering, camouflaged within the vibrant petals, leaves, and fruit skins that covered the floor. The discovery caught us off guard, as no one could have anticipated the presence of such colossal creatures lurking amidst the sunflowers all along. This unforeseen twist in our encounter added a new layer of danger and complexity to the situation, demanding that we remain vigilant and adapt our strategy accordingly. The situation became increasingly perplexing, as it was difficult to discern whether the bugs were manipulating the plants or if the plants themselves controlled the bugs. As an onlooker, the flowers seemed to be rooted on the backs of the centipede, with their crusted roots seemingly embedded within its exoskeleton. Just as I was about to give the signal to clear a path ahead, some shouted, "Let's run this way! They ain't that many in this direction!" And the voice was right. Most of the bugs in that area, now known to be the Southwest area, had no interest. The sunny flower bugs were more concerned about the fruit trees than us. In response, I decided that going in that direction could become problematic if they assumed that we were after their food source. So I decided to set our course north to avoid dealing with them later. But the moment I pointed out the direction back to the settlement, I, along with some others, realized that we had no idea where we were and knew that we were lost. The sunny flower centipedes, which we started referring to as Flowpede, weren't waiting on us to finalize our plans. We were still somewhat surrounded, and the one opening in the ambush pointed in the direction that they all were heading. Forced to run back towards the fruit tree forest area with haste, I noticed that there were spots in the Flowpede defense that we could attack and break away from this trap. As we darted from side to side, swiftly dodging the bushes, trees, and low-hanging branches, during the dash, I was blindsided and almost lost an eye to an axe that was sticking out of a tree. If it wasn't for Isa, I could have been the liability that would have caused people to lose their lives. We quickly deviated from the path where the menacing Flowpeed lurked, stealing another glance over my shoulder. I saw that more of the Flowpeed continued their pursuit while the rest appeared engrossed in tending to the ground and the trees. My vision strained to comprehend the peculiar sight, witnessing the bugs secreting an enigmatic fluid onto the trees. However, the details of this memory remain elusive, and I cannot be certain of its accuracy. The forest canopy above flickered and swirled, casting beams of lights that pulsated like the lights at a raging house party. Yet with each passing moment, a looming sense of danger gripped our minds. In a haunting response, the forest surrendered to deepening darkness, draping everything in a malevolent shroud. However, this darkness affected only a select few among us, leaving others untouched to see the light. When I shared my observations with Harry after I returned, he suggested it could be a temporary obstruction. Yet, an instinctual knowing resided within me, reassuring me that it was far more profound. It was a divine intervention, an extraordinary occurrence that transcended the boundaries of our understanding. The unmistakable presence of God manifested in the form of an angel, materializing before our very eyes with an astounding swiftness, sent to guide and protect us in our time of peril. The winds and the trees whispered the arrival of God's messenger, and we felt its power. Joe: So you saw an angel or a native creature? Jemski: It's weird that an interaction with what could have been nothing is bringing forth this many feelings about the presence of the Most High and the legitimacy of his sign. Lady V: I can't answer questions that the Most High hasn't given me the answers to. However, while we were down bad, just as despair threatened to consume us, a stroke of fortune shone upon us. I remembered something. It was stupid of me not to realize it sooner, but one of our companions, when he laid eyes on the overwhelming abundant fruit trees, during his excitement, he rushed to remove all the tools, carry-ons, and weapons weighing him down, and the first thing he discarded was his weapon. With the force of the throw, he embedded his stone axe into the tree ahead of him, leaving the handle point in the direction we entered the forest. This impromptu marker became a beacon of hope, guiding our uncertain path and providing a semblance of direction amidst the disorienting forest. Miraculously, it was in that critical moment that fate intervened, leading us to an unexpected encounter with Joe's team. They, too, had found themselves entangled within the sinister grasp of the Southwest Forest. In the midst of the fraught situation, our meeting held the potential to escalate into conflict and strife, fueled by fear and confusion. Yet, against all odds, circumstances played out differently, allowing us to come together and share our experiences. Tara: So, along with food and drinkable fluids, we stand a chance of survival? Love to hear it. That's certainly encouraging to hear, knowing that we have a source of fresh wild food and the drinkable fluid the large gel plant produces under the HQ. We can focus on distributing the goods and finding ways to be efficient. Head Chef Issa's resourcefulness will surely boost morale and nourishment in this challenging environment, which demands ingenuity and adaptability. Lady V: Absolutely, Tara. It's reassuring to know that we're not solely reliant on basic provisions. With Chef Issa's preparations, we have a chance to savor familiar tastes and enhance our meals, providing a sense of comfort amidst the unfamiliarity. Joe: Now, if I may interject and tell our story. Our exploration into the forest took an unexpected turn when we stumbled upon a variety of animals. Horses, cows, pigs, goats, and even peculiar creatures resembling a fusion between a lobster and dolphins captured our attention. The prospect of bringing these animals back to our settlement held promise. However, as we ventured forth to capture them, we soon found ourselves facing a new threat. We are still not 100% sure as of yet, but it seemed like at least one of the predators of the forest, which we happened to face, looked like black-armored bugs that had suddenly appeared with a thud, which resembled a stag beetle. These creatures were colossal in size, comparable to a small pony. Their elongated midsection allowed them to flex and stand upright on their rear legs, giving them a menacing presence. We dubbed them the Bab Stars due to their star-shaped mouths, which added to their fearsome image. Overcoming their speed and discovering their weak spots proved to be our greatest challenges. However, through observation and teamwork, we managed to take down 3 Bab Stars and even a wild boar before retreating. It was a valuable experience, providing both sustenance and battle proficiency. Based on our encounter, it seems that the North Forest holds promising hunting opportunities and the chance to further hone our combat skills. Tara, something doesn't quite add up here. You mentioned encountering multiple animals that you killed for food, but your team only returned with 2 portions of meat. Why the discrepancy? Joe, it's true that we didn't bring back as much meat as initially expected. Our journey back to the settlement was hindered by a pack of red wolves. They posed a threat not only to the meat, but also to our wounded companions. Faced with a difficult choice, we had to prioritize the safety of our group. It was either abandoning the meat, risking further harm by venturing deeper into the forest, or engaging with the winged wolves directly. Ultimately, we decided to let go of the meat and ensure the well-being of our team. Additionally, I'd like to note that the red wolves we encountered appeared to be drenched in water when they approached us. And they had wings. Although I don't want to raise false hopes, this observation leads me to believe there may be a water source nearby that we could tap into. However, until we develop better tools, weapons, and strategy, I think we should keep the forest restrictions the same for a bit longer. Harry. All right, everyone. We have covered a lot of ground today, but there's still more to discuss. Let's reconvene next week at the same time to continue our meeting. Vladimir. Thank you all for finding the time to join us on day 7. Your presence and input are greatly appreciated, generals.